Blog Talk
He's sending
Radio.
Forth his 12. And I believe we're lively. We just went live on Blog Talk Radio. And so we want to welcome in all those who are listening to us there and those who are listening to us on the YouTube channel and those who are picking us up on iTunes. We just want to welcome all them in. And I hope you'll be patient with me. I'm under the weather a little bit this morning. And don't sound that pleasant, but anyway, the Word of God's pleasant. It's not the messenger. But I realize, you know, we don't have a large congregation here. But something we all need to realize is even though there's not a large congregation in this room, there are people all over this world listening to this. And I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, because they want truth. But I don't know why in the world they'd sit and listen to me with my old redneck hick voice and think there was any good thing come out of that, because I'm about as mushmouth Arkansas as you can get, and I can't help myself. That's where I was raised and the way I sound. But the Word of God is what's important. The Word of God stands. You know, God can draw a line with a crooked stick, a straight line. And he certainly done that by using me, because I was just an old crooked stick, wasn't worth anything. And the Lord looked down and he saw something I couldn't see. He looked down and he saw something he could use. And I give him all the glory and the praise for that. We've been talking. Jesus is sending forth his disciples to go out and to preach. They're to go out and to preach what he's been preaching. They're to go out and lay hands on the sick. They're to go out and cast out devils. They're to go out in his power, in his authority. And it said in chapter 10, verse 1, that he gave them power against all against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He didn't give that to every believer. Even though there's a lot of people in this world today who claim, is this folks you invited?
No.
Okay. So he didn't give that to everybody. He gave that to his disciples to go out and to do his work. And like I said, there's a lot of people today who claim they have that apostolic authority and all that, but truth of it is, this was when he sent out his disciples to Israel. They went out. Jesus came. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to them first. And again, he told them, you don't go to the Gentiles. You go to the lost sheep of Israel. The gospel hadn't even got out to the Gentiles like us yet. So we're just dealing with the Jews. And again, we're just dealing with these 12 men. But I want you to understand something. Even though we're just looking at these 12 men, and though he didn't send us out to do exactly the same thing that he sent them out to do, he sent us into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't send us into all the world to heal all manners of sickness and to cast out devils. He sent us to give them Jesus, to give them the gospel. But as we look at these disciples, there's lots of things we can gain from looking at him sending them out. So that's what we're going to do this morning. All right, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. We're going to try our best to finish this chapter today. If we don't, it ain't no big deal. We'll pick it up and we'll go from wherever the Lord cuts us off at today. But we're going to try our best to go through the end of this chapter today. So let's go ahead and read through it to the end, starting there in verse 24. And I want you to notice in here, Jesus makes a statement a number of times. And he tells them to fear not, to fear not, to fear not. He says that again and again. That's the theme in this. Because I believe a lot of people, when they go to serve God and they say, oh, I want to serve the Lord, I want to serve the Lord, then the devil throws fear on them. He throws anxiety on them. He makes them feel inadequate. He makes them feel like they can't. And a lot of people give up before they ever try to serve God because they feel like they can't do it. And these men here, let's go back and remember who we're talking about. These boys got off the fishing boat. They wiped the guts off of them, and they went to walking behind Jesus. They got up from cheating people every day out of their money, and went and followed Jesus. These were not, I mean, these were average, ordinary Joes off the road, off the street. They weren't anything fantastic. They weren't extremely educated men. These are just men. And, you know, so they had a lot of reason to say, well, you know, I'm not as smart as that professor down there. And there's lots of people today that says, well, you know, I don't have the Bible education of that preacher, so you know, who am I to do anything for God? But again, let me go back to what I just said. God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. God took a Moses who couldn't even talk plain. He stuttered every time he tried to talk. And God used him mightily. God used a Peter who was he'd pop off at the drop of a hat. I mean, had a hot, quick temper, and he'd lose it in a hurry. And God's still able to use him. God can use anything. I mean, He can use anybody. Amen. If they'll simply let him use them. All right. So let's begin there in verse 24. The Bible says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I come to you this morning, and Lord, I ask you, please put your hand upon me. Lord, if you will, I plead with you. Lord, I want to be used of you today. Lord, I know that I'm not worthy. I know there's nothing about me any good except that you saved me. Lord, I'm so thankful. Oh, those many years ago that you had mercy on my soul and that you washed me in your blood and you forgave me. And oh, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you live in me, and I'm thankful, Lord, that you called me to this ministry. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've used me many, many, many times. And Lord, I'm asking you this morning to do it again. I'm asking you this morning, Lord, to fill my mouth with your words. I'm asking you to fill my mind with your thoughts. I'm asking you, Lord, to pour yourself out of me. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, whoever hears it, whoever receives it, I pray, Father, that the word of God would, Lord, do a change in our lives. Father, work on me today. as I preach. I pray you'd work on me. Lord, I need it. Please, Father, I pray that the Word of God would touch us in such a way it makes a change in us. Lord, you, the Holy Ghost of God would draw our attention and put the mirror on us. Take the Word of God and use it as a mirror and show us. Lord God, bring us to repentance, Lord. Bring us, Lord, to confession of sins. Bring us, Lord, to humbling ourselves before you. Father, teach us, Lord, that the Word of God's right, no matter what we think or feel or have experienced. The Word of God's always right. Lord, please speak to us from it today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right. And again, we're just jumping right in the middle of what he said to them, so we're going to pick up without really a beginning. But, you know, he told them, first of all, he told them, if we back up just a hair to think about this, he told them to go preach, and he told them not to take much of anything with them. And he told them, you know, if you go somewhere, you find somebody who wants you there, and bring them, you know, stay there with them. But if they don't want what you got, if they don't want to hear what you got, shake the dust off your feet and keep on going. And he told him, he said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, I'm going to tell you, a sheep in the midst of wolves is in trouble unless there's a shepherd. Unless there's a shepherd, they're in trouble. And the Lord's our shepherd. And he says, therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're not to go trying to rile up the people who don't want it. We're not to come at people who hate God and just inflame them. That's not what he said to do. He said be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He's telling them to go to the ones who want it. Go to the ones who want Jesus. Go to the ones who want to be forgiven, who want to have eternal life. He said, but beware them. He said, because they'll put you in jail. They'll kill you. They'll get rid of you. And he told them, look, you don't worry about what you're going to say. When you get to where you got to say something, you're standing before somebody in authority, don't worry about it. I'll give you what to say. He told them that. And he warned them. And I think it's worth going back through this. He warned them in verse 21. He told them, he said, and the brother shall deliver the brother to death. Why is that? Because Jesus is the great dividing line of all time. You either love him or you don't. I don't know anybody who just, he's okay. I know there used to be a song recorded back in the 70s that said, Jesus is just all right with me. He's more than just all right with me. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. You know, I don't know anybody who just kind of, whatever. But I mean, you either love him because he saves you, or you don't like him because he tells you what not to do. Simple as that. But anyway, he told him, he said, people are going to hate you because of me. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And we see that today. Folks, there's a big stink right now going on in America because those witches on that show, The View, I don't know if you heard this or not, but they said that the vice president had mental illness because he has faith in Christ. They said he's mentally ill because of that. On ABC, they sat there and that Joy Behar, that wicked woman, she sat there and talked about how he has a mental illness because he has faith in Christ. But yet those are the same witches, and I say witches because they are out of hell, just as wicked as they can be. They love evil. They love the sickness of this world. And they'll sit there and praise Islam and call Christianity a mental illness. Islam, where women are murdered because somebody rapes them, and they put them in the ground, bury them up to their neck, and throw rocks at them until they kill them, or they'll stab them to death, or they'll throw acid in their faces. Listen, they don't want to go to those countries. They don't want to go to those countries and try to be who they are, because they wouldn't last 5 minutes. This world hates Christianity. That's the simple fact. All right, so let's get into our message this morning. Verse 24, the Bible says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word disciple means a disciplined one, and it's one who wants to do things the way Christ did things. Someone who wants to talk to people the way Christ talked to people. Someone who wants to have love for other people the way Christ had love for other people. And to be humble and selfless the way Christ is humble and selfless. Now, I want to be that all the time. I fail at it quite often. But my heart wants to be that way. But excuse me. Because he has changed me. And I have his nature living inside of me. And because he saved me and because he has brought to life my spirit within me and he lives in me, I want to do right. I fail him sometimes, but I have a desire to do right. He said, you know, you're not going to get above me. Now listen to what he says. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. And I think to myself, about these preachers who have to have a jet plane fly around in. They got to have they got to have stretch limousines. They got to wear the finest clothes. They got to have gigantic, huge, ornate temples built. I mean, just to do what the Lord's called us to do. Listen, they're trying to be above him. Did he have to do that? Did the Lord go about building ornate temples and doing all that and wearing flashy clothes and, I mean, riding around on Arabian stallions and things? No. He came, he was a dirt poor carpenter's son. And he didn't even have a house. He didn't even have a horse or a donkey to ride around on. He walked. And yet there are people today who think they gotta get up on a pedestal and have people almost bow down to them. It's a shame. It's a tragedy and a shame. They've corrupted what God has sent us out to do. He said, don't try to get above him. And you know what that also means? That means, hey, we ought not try to change what he's told us. We ought not say, well, I know he said that, but I just think it's this, or I just feel like I ought to do that, or I just want to do this, or whatever. Listen, if we're honest with ourselves, we got to follow the Lord. I know we fail. I understand that. I fail. You fail. We all fail at times. But the truth of it is, when we fail, we ought to confess and we ought to get back in line and try to follow him again. He said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. In other words, they called Jesus the devil. They said, you have a devil in you. When they saw what he had done, they saw the miracles that he had done, they saw how the people followed after him. I'm talking about the leaders, the religious leaders. When they saw that, they couldn't really speak against it because they knew that it was real. They saw it with their very own eyes. And they knew that he was teaching truth out of the Bible, but they did not want to go along with it. They didn't want to believe it. They had built up a system based on their self. They had taken what God had given to Moses, and they had corrupted it to where it was a beneficial system for themselves. You take, for example, the Joel Osteens of this world. You think he ain't made that a profitable business? That man's mega rich. Do you think Jesus intended for him to get mega rich doing that? I don't believe so at all. I don't believe Jesus intends for us to get really rich at all preaching his word. I don't believe that's it's not a career choice somebody ought to get into and say, oh, I'm going to get rich doing this. If you do, you got the wrong idea to begin with. He said, you know, they called him the devil because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. It was his words that they didn't like. It wasn't anything but what he said to them that they did not want to hear. They didn't want to hear that they needed to repent. They didn't want to hear that they needed to change anything because they looked in the mirror and they said, you know, we've got it all together. We're good. We don't need you, Jesus. We got our religion. He said, if they call me Beelzebub, he said, how much more shall they call them of his household? That's why Christianity's hated. That's why they talk about us the way they do. That's why they're saying that kind of stuff on TV. This world is trying to shut down Christianity. They're doing everything they can to shut it down in America. Because they get it shut down in America, they can lock it all down. Europe's done gave up. This is the I mean, I know there's Christianity going on in China. There's Christianity going on in North Korea. There's Christianity going on in every country. In some places, they do it in hiding. In some places, they do it and they die. I mean, they cut their heads off. It's everywhere. But I'm telling you, in America, this thing's getting shut down. What's his next words? Fear them not, therefore. Don't you be afraid. Yeah, they say you're a bunch of devils. They say what you're doing is wrong, that you got something wrong with you. Maybe you got a mental illness because you want to follow the Lord, because you believe the Bible is God's holy word. Yeah, they think you're crazy and you lost your mind. But you know what? Jesus said, fear them not, therefore. Don't be afraid because they feel that way. Don't be afraid because the media and all of it. I mean, they try their best to portray us as nuts. Don't fear them. Jesus said, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Listen, right now, it may look bad for Christians. Right now, all this, you know, they can talk, they can say all the ugly things they want to say about him, and they can say all the ugly things they want to say about us. They can do all the things they want to do, but you know what? In the end, it's all going to be exposed. In the end, there'll be nowhere for them to hide. In the end, there won't be no help for them. In the end, they're going to have to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ before they're pitched into the lake of fire and brimstone. There won't be nowhere to hide. Listen, in the end, you know what? No matter what we thought about us, in the end, God's going to turn us wrong side out and lay it all bare. There's a lot of people in this world who thinks they're the Lord's. You know, Jesus talked about that. He said, in that day, you'll say unto me, you know, we've done all these miraculous works in your name. We cast out devils. We prophesied. And he'll say to them, I never knew you. You know why? They didn't know him. They were religious. They followed after religion, but they didn't follow after Christ. They didn't come to Christ. They got some kind of salvation based on a church's doctrine, or they got some kind of salvation based on their own works and their own satisfaction with it, but they didn't get salvation based on grace, which means they didn't earn it. They couldn't do nothing for it. God just gave it to them because they believed him. Those are the ones that are getting in. It's not the ones who followed a certain set of requirements and because that's works. And it's not by works. It's by faith. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. He said, what things we've said and talked about, he's talking about the things which they sat around and he taught them without telling everybody around him. Well, the things that he taught them, he's saying, look here, I may have taught you this without anybody listening and looking. He said, but now I want you to go out and I want you to just speak it and speak the truth in the light of day. Just put it out there in the open. He said, what you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Do you realize we're doing that this morning? You may look around and say, there ain't that many people here. How are we preaching something on the housetop? Well, it's going right through this little microphone cable and going right through this telephone. Our telephone, most people don't even know what telephone means anymore. Going through this cell phone and going out all over the whole world. You know, we have, and I'm not bragging on us. I'm just bragging on Jesus. We got listeners all over the Philippines. I have people all the time saying that they listen to us. They listen to us either on our Old Path broadcast channel or they listen to us through our Faith Baptist Church page or they listen to us some other way. I mean, I hear from people all the time who listen to this broadcast. And folks, that's what we're to do. We're to preach it. We're not to let anybody, I mean, we're not to let anything hinder us from getting the gospel out. And as often and as many places as we can share it, the better. So I thank God for this opportunity to preach the gospel, to preach the truth to as many as we can. And again, he says, fear not. Fear them not. Fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What is he saying? I know in America we don't face that right now. But you know what they did? We're not talking. This is not specifically to us. This is specifically to those 12 men. But again, he's saying to them, you know, there's going to be times where your life's going to be threatened. But he said, don't quit preaching because somebody's threatened your life. If you don't shut up with that preacher, I'll kill you. Well, don't shut up just because they said that. Because you know what? God says, you don't fear him. Because all that man there can do, he might can end your life, but he can't do nothing to your soul. No, the one you need to fear is the one who's able to destroy your body and your soul. Fear God. Put your fear if you don't preach the gospel. I mean, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. God has told me to, and if I don't do it, woe unto me. That means terrible. It's going to be awful if I don't do what God's called me and told me to do. So, I think sometimes that we've almost lost the fear of God in America. I mean, we've forgotten he's a holy and a righteous God. We've forgotten who he is. We've forgotten that he made us, not we made him. He made us. He wrote this book. We didn't write this book. He gave us salvation. We didn't go get it. I didn't say, you know, I got to go find somebody to be a savior. I got to go find me a savior. No, he came to me. He showed me I was lost. I didn't go to him and show him I was lost. He came to me and pointed my sin out to me and said, you're lost. You need to be saved. I'm to fear him. He holds me in his hand. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I wish I could please him better than I do. Oh, I wish I could please him better than I do. I wish I didn't fail him so often. I wish I didn't fall down so often. I hate my old flesh. I hate me because I am such a detriment to myself. And I thank God for his blood. I thank God that he saved me because that's all that makes me worth anything. That's all that makes you worth anything is that you have the blood of Jesus covering you. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus covering you, you're not worth anything. You're going to be cast into hell for all eternity. Say, how much does he love me? Well, look at the next verse. Look at verse 29. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? You say, what's that much? I don't know how much money that was, but it wouldn't be much. Two little birds don't cost much. He was trying to say they ain't worth much. But he said, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. I heard years ago somebody talking about that and saying, you know, it doesn't say that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your father knowing about it. It's not saying that. It's not saying, well, God knows about every little bird that falls off a branch and hits the ground, or every little bird that falls over and dies. God knows about it. No, it says, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. So what does that mean? I mean, we can look out today and we can find some birds flying around in trees. And I mean, we could sit and watch a bunch of sparrows out splashing around in a mud puddle. And you need to stop and think for 1 second that God knows every single one of those birds personally. Doesn't that blow your mind? God knows them personally. He knows their individual characteristics. If they die, God don't just know about it. God lays them down. He's there with them when they die. God's with a sparrow when it dies. You think he won't be with us? And he said, don't let people scare you. You think you're in this by yourself? I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to find out who God is, start giving everything you got to him, and God will show up big time. I'm going to tell you something. If you hear what I'm saying today, you're going to get something out of this. You ain't never been loved till you really let God love you. You ain't never really felt the power of God until you submit yourself to it. Now listen to this. He said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now that's my mama, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that woman loves me. I guarantee you, Ronnie, you know she loves you. Has she ever counted your hair? She ain't ever counted your hair, Sam, and you have? You mean she loves you and she don't know how many hairs you got? I don't recall her ever counting my hair either. Now, she knew just about everything about me there was to know when I was a little boy, but she didn't know how many hairs I had on my head. I ain't got a whole lot. Probably hard to count them now, Mama. Ain't many there. Getting easier to count yours all the time, too, ain't it, Ronnie? But God knows. You think, man, ain't nobody love me like my mama. Ain't nobody love me like my mama. Well, mama don't know what God knows about you. Mama don't love you like God loves you. I got a newsflash for all of us. Who do you think put the love that a mama has into a mama? That was God. That's a part of God's heart that he put into a mama. A mama wouldn't be able to love her kids like that if it weren't for God giving her that kind of ability. But he didn't give her all of his love. God loves us greater than a mama ever could. He says, so fear ye not, therefore. There's no reason to be afraid. He said, you are of more value than many sparrows. God says, you don't even have any idea how much I truly love you. Verse 32, he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Let's make sure we understand what that's saying. When it says confess me before men, he's saying whosoever will go out and say the things that I have said previously. Whosoever sticks behind me, follows me, and does what I've told him to do and says what I've told him to say, that person is confessing me before men. He said, you know what? If they go out and they're following me and they're giving me them and they're pouring out themselves what I've told them to do, then I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to say, Father, give them power. Father, give them blessing. Father, pour out your spirit on them. Father, give them all they need. But he said, but whosoever shall deny me before men. And what does that mean? That means, hey, listen, that means they go out, they ain't going to do nothing. They go out, but they ain't going to say nothing. They're not going to follow him. They're not going to obey him. You say, well, they saved? They save people that falls down. They save people that fails God. They save people who are going to be ashamed before Jesus when he comes. Don't think that for one second that ain't going to happen. Because I'm going to find it over here. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you, if I can find it real quick. And as sure as I'm trying to find it, I probably won't be able to. Yeah, here it is. Here it is, in 1 Corinthians 3, 13 through 15. Yes, there's people, there's followers of Jesus that fail him. Listen, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. This is talking about when we are standing before Jesus. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I've talked about that before. I've preached on this before. Again, that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's where all of us are going when we leave this world. We're going there first. Before we go anywhere else, we're going to stand before the Lord. Before we go anywhere else, our works will be judged, not our sin. Our sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. If God could ever find one of your sins to hold up before you, you'd have to go to hell. But God can't find our sins. The Bible tells us that if we're his, that he's cast them behind his back. That he's removed them from him as far as the east is from the west. He says he remembers them no more. Why? Because Jesus didn't die for nothing. Jesus died for our sins. He paid for our sins. But there's more to being a Christian than just being saved. There's serving God once we are enlisted in his army. We're his soldiers. We're his people. We're his sheep. We're his followers. We're to be his disciples. So if we are lousy at it, then there's going to be a reckoning for that. Just like if mama or daddy says, here's your chores to do today, get them done before I get home. And they come home, chores ain't done, there's going to be a reckoning. Right? We're going to get called in the living room. There's going to be some talking to. There may be some hineys getting warmed up. Listen, God is not going to just say, oh, well, you didn't do anything for me. That's okay. No, we're going to. It's going to be laid bare who did and who didn't. And who didn't, I'm going to tell you something. Forever and ever and ever, we're going to remember we didn't serve him like we should have. Mm-hmm. God, well, I mean, listen, I say forever and ever and ever. I don't know. The Bible says he's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes at one point. So maybe at that point all that's not going to matter. I don't know. But the Bible says that some are going to shine more than others. So I don't know. Maybe there will be a eternal lingering of who served him right and who didn't. But I know this. I don't want to be in the crowd that's ashamed. Oh, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. So I don't want to deny him. So I pray, God, please help me when I'm in that position where somebody's trying to talk to me about something that they have a spiritual need, and maybe they don't know Christ. Maybe they're just going through something and they're trying to find an answer. And I have the answer, and I don't share it with them, and I say, well, you know, maybe it'll get better for you. Maybe you'll have good luck eventually. That ain't no such thing as luck. There's divine appointments. Everything in life, God knows about it. Amen. Everything in life, God doesn't let things in. Oh, it's just, no, there's not lucky people. There's not unlucky people and lucky people. That's not built based upon the Bible. That's based upon man's thinking. God wants us to hear what he said. God wants us to fear him because he's God and we're not. He's God. He saved us. We owe him our everything. So we ought to look to him for our everything. We ought to turn to him and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm putty in your hands. Mold me into what you want me to be. But you know what? He says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. You know what that means? God ain't going to give us his power to play with. God ain't going to give us his blessing if we ain't doing nothing to be blessed by. I mean, blessed for. I mean, listen, God's not going to be frivolous with everything that he has for us if we're disobedient. I've never seen anybody in this world, humans, who had a nickel's worth of sense, bless a child who's disobedient. I've seen some that didn't care. Seen some that didn't know how to be a parent, but I'm saying anybody who's a good parent, if they have kids, if one of them is rebellious, I've never seen anybody, you know, be as good to the one who's rebellious constantly as they are to the ones who are obedient. There's a reward for obedience, and there is discipline for disobedience. And we try to live however we want to as a believer down here. There's going to be some discipline. There's going to be some hardships that God's bringing in our life, like we talked about earlier, sister. There's going to be trials that come our way. God trying to get us up to move us from sitting there doing nothing. Then he goes on to say, and we're almost there. We ain't got too much further to go. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Again, Jesus Christ is the great lion in the sand. You say, I'm saved. I belong to Jesus. Well, I'm on this side. And I want everybody else to come over here with me. But some of them say, I don't want over there. I don't want somebody telling me what I'm wrong in. I don't want somebody pointing out to me that I'm a sinner. I don't want nobody trying to tell me I got to do this and I got to do this and I want to follow them. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want to. I'll do it however I want to and I'll just face the consequences. Well, you're on the other side of the line from me. And as much as I may love them, as much as I may care about them, as much as I may want to see them in heaven, if they don't want Jesus, they're not coming. And guess what? We're never going to see eye to eye. We're never going to be able to get along. I'm always going to be an irritation to them. Because you know why? They know I know Jesus. They know I know that Bible. And if I get around them, I'm going to irritate them. Because you know what? It reminds them that I want them to be saved, that I want them to humble themselves before God. And so they say, nah, I don't want to be around him. Hey, there's a reason why I got family members that don't want to come around me at all. Why? Because I've talked to them about the Lord more than once, and they don't want to hear it. He said, I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Understand that back in Israel during that day when Jesus sent out his disciples, every single one of those men, every single one of them, their families turned their back on them. Either they got saved and they got in following Jesus too, or they had nothing to do with them. Even to this day, and I've told you this before, even to this very day, if a Jew turns away from Judaism and turns to Christ and gets born again, their family, if they're really Jews, they say, we want nothing. You're dead to us. Dead to us. Don't come back here. We want to hear nothing from you again the rest of your life. Be gone. We hate you. They hate Jesus. You understand? They hate Christ. So if you love him, we hate you. That's how they become foes. It's not that they hate you as a person because they don't like who you are. They loved you before that. But if you're going to bring that man into your life, we don't want to be around you or him. And Jesus follows that up by saying this. Now listen, hear the words I'm about to say to you. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You can't say, well, I love my daddy, and my daddy don't want Jesus in my life, so I'm not going to follow Jesus because I love my daddy. Well, that's foolish. Because you know what? Your daddy's going to split hell wide open, and you're going to coddle him all the way to the doorstep. How many people, I wonder, God called them to preach the gospel, and mama said, don't do it. Don't you get up there and embarrass me. Or daddy said, you don't ever make a preacher. Oh, I read a story years ago, and I'm not going to call his name, but a preacher, and his daddy was a drunk. Every day of his life, his daddy come home drunk. His daddy spent more time at the bar than he did at home. Him and his mama nearly starved to death because there was no food in the house. So she kept a can of grease and a little flour, and every now and then she'd make them biscuits every now and then. But, I mean, they didn't have much of nothing to eat because daddy drank up all the money. And when God called him to preach, his daddy beat him up on the sidewalk downtown Dallas, Texas, because he was a preacher. He said, ain't no son of mine going to be a preacher. And he tried to beat him to death right there on the sidewalk. That's what Jesus is talking about. People, listen, if they don't want Christ, they ain't going to want us. And it's not us. It's they don't want him. He's the dividing line. And the Bible says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That word scares me, that worthy. You won't listen. Jesus is saying, I have everything you need. I have all the love you need. I have all the mercy you need. I have all the peace you need. I have all the wisdom you need. I have all the understanding you need. I have all the compassion you need. I have everything you need. I have so much more than anybody on earth could ever give to you. And you're willing to turn your back on me because they don't like me. Jesus said, well, then you know what? You're not worthy of all this that I want to give to you. Because if you're going to be disobedient to me, I'm not going to shower what you need on you if you're not going to follow me. To take up your cross and follow Jesus, that's really what we started talking about in the beginning with this series of messages. He says, to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What are we carrying? What are we going together? It is the burdens of life, but we're carrying the cross. We're carrying the cross of, I'm in this with Jesus. And I know that that I'm living sacrificially because I'm doing it for him. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm living for him. I want to live for him, and I want to tell others about him, and I want others to come to know him. And I know that in doing so, that I'm going to have to look to him, because if I don't look to him, my flesh is going to take over and mess everything up. But if I look to him, he'll give me what I need. And my life is to be about carrying this cross. And in carrying this cross, that means everywhere I go, I'm still a Christian. No matter who I'm with, I'm still a Christian. No matter what situation I'm in, I'm still a Christian. I don't take off my Christian badge and leave it somewhere while I go somewhere else. I am his no matter where I go. There's a very, very, very powerful verse right there, 39. I want you to look at that. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Are you hearing me? He that findeth his life shall lose it. Sounds like a paradox or an oxymoron or whatever they call that. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that findeth his life shall lose it. That means the one that says, you know, I'm going to chase my dreams and my goals, and I'm going to be what I want to be. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to be what I want to be, and I'm going to achieve all my goals, and then I'll be satisfied. That's the person who's finding their life. You've heard people say, well, I just got to go out and find myself. You ever heard anybody say that? I just need to find myself. Hogwash. You need to find him. It's yourself that's going to cause you so much problem to begin with. You need to leave yourself alone. You need to lose yourself. When I say yourself, I'm talking about your will. I'm talking about your will that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's like a little kid sitting in the floor throwing a temper tantrum. I watched a video this week. It was pointing out how not to parent a child. And these kids were just screaming at their parents. And their parents just like, oh, don't talk like that. Don't say that. Don't be like that. And these kids just, wah! Just like screaming like they'd lost their minds, like they had a devil in them. And I assume some of them did. That's that spirit. Except when you grow up, you don't sit on the floor necessarily and scream like an idiot. You just do what you want to do. Because ain't nobody there saying you ain't going to act that way. Or I'm going to tear you up. That's the one that finds his life. Says, it's my life, and I'm good. Didn't we heard that before? Ain't we heard that? And I've talked about that. Some of the music talks like that. Some of the, and I mean, it's in the music, and it's in the Hollywood, in Hollywood movies and Hollywood TV shows. It's do what you want to do. It's your life. Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way. Bon Jovi said, it's my life. Listen, they. I think it was Isley Brothers. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Listen, you do what you want. It's your life. You got it to live. Ain't nobody going to get in your way and tell you what to do. That's satanic. That's the evil. That's what Planned Parenthood says. If we want to kill babies, if we want to freeze their bodies and send them off and sell parts to people, that's what we want to do. If, you know, the queers say, you know what, if I want to marry another man and we want to live in gross immorality and perversion, hey, that's our life, that's what we'll do. If two women say we want to both look like a couple of men and we want to be with each other and do things that ain't natural, listen, that's what we want to do. This world says, you know, we'll dabble with witchcraft. We'll play with evil. We'll play with madness. We'll do whatever we want to do. It's our life. Jesus said, you do that, you'll lose your life. He ain't got but one. He got one life. Got one time through this thing. Don't get no do-overs. He said, you find your life, you lose it. He said, but if he that loseth his life for my sake. And I don't think that means lose like I don't know where I put it. That means I'm going to give what I have. The possibility the opportunity to do what I want, the possibility that I can chase my dreams and do what I want with my life. I could do all those things, but I'm going to give that up because I love the Lord Jesus. And I want to follow his will and do what he wants me to do rather than to chase my dreams and fulfill them, do what I want to do because he bought me. He bought me. If you're saved, I want you to understand you're the most expensive, the most precious possession that was ever purchased in the history of the world. Ain't no hope diamond more expensive than you. There's no gold in this world that's more expensive than you because you cost God's own son his blood and his life. That's what you cost. That's your price that God paid for you. So that's so much worth so much more than anything that you could ever achieve in this world. Because let me tell you something, you might reach the, I mean, can I, you know what? Let's look at an example of someone who has absolutely reached the pinnacle of opulence, okay? Elvis Presley probably lived as extravagant and as fantastical a lifestyle as any man in America has ever lived. He had more fans adoring him. He got to do anything and everything he wanted to do. He was so messed up on dope that he was taking pills to wake up. He was taking pills to go to bed. He was taking pills to perform, and he was taking pills to wind down. I mean, he was on so many prescription drugs constantly. I mean, that's what killed him, I think, in the end, or maybe it was just God killed him. From what I read, he was sitting on the toilet reading a book on witchcraft when he died. But Elvis Presley, he had everything this world could desire. And yet, you know what? Nobody talks about Elvis anymore, hardly ever. Elvis is fading into history. Used to every year on August 16th, they'd run a big deal on TV about the day Elvis died. I remember that day. It was the day before my birthday. I sat and watching cartoons, and they interrupted to say that Elvis Presley had died. And it was a big deal. But you know what? Not too many people care anymore. The greatest life in America, Elvis Presley. No. He gonna fade into history just like everybody else. All that he achieved and all that he did and all the records he made, you know what? Eventually they all quit getting played. All the memories of his concerts and his sequin jumpsuits and his movies and all that stuff and all his mansion, and his mansion's gonna crumble to the ground. And my Graceland won't be there forever. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I was talking to a man Friday, and we had been watching a video called "How Shall We Then Live" by a man named Francis Schaeffer, and it was talking about how Christianity has steered the world. How the laws of God, even in societies that don't even believe in God, they borrowed from God's laws in order to have their own societies. And after that, we were talking about the opposite of Elvis Presley. We were talking about men like Isaac Bacchus, who if it were not for Isaac Bacchus, we wouldn't even have the Bill of Rights in America. We talked about Shubal Stearns. If it were not for Shubal Stearns, the Bible Belt wouldn't be here. Now, these are men who absolutely surrendered themselves to God and gave God their life. And yet they're forgotten. But you know what? The work they did lives on. It grows. You know why? Because it's of God. What Elvis Presley did, it fades because it's of man. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know what? This country may not remember who Shubal Stearns is. He was just a preacher that got saved under the ministry of George Whitfield and went down to Liberty, North Carolina, and founded the Sandy Creek Baptist Church that spawned the Bible Belt. And most people don't even know who he is if I say his name. But I'm gonna tell you something. There'll be a day out there in eternity when old Shubal stands before Jesus, and all those who were saved as a result of his ministry are there too. And that'll be a day of giving Jesus honor and glory. And I guarantee you, Jesus will say to old Shubal Stearns, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, because he took the criticism of all those around him, and he just went on and did what God told him to do. Jesus said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. Because, you see, it's not about me or you. It's not about what we want. It's not about what we think. It's about what Jesus thinks, about what he said and what he wants us to do. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. See, there's lots of people that says they love God, but they don't love Jesus. You can't love God without loving Jesus. There's no way. It's impossible. You can't separate the Father and the Son. It's just impossible. All them people that say they love God, but they don't love Christ, all them Jehovah's Witnesses, hey, God's going to throw every one of them into hell. All them Mormons who believe Jesus and the devil are brothers, they're going to split hell wide open. All them Catholics who believe that Mary is somehow going to be a part of their salvation, they're going to split hell wide open. Yep. Every one of them that doesn't believe Christ. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. God's saying those who embrace what we have, what we're bringing to them, God's going to pour out his blessing on them just like he poured his blessing out on us. God's going to pour his love out on them just like he poured it out on us. And the last verse there, he said, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. He's talking about humbling ourselves and having his love and having his mercy and his tenderness and his compassion. You see, you can't go about this world saying, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and have that. I've said it before, but there's only two kinds of people in this world. There's the, hey, here I am, look at me, people. And there's the, oh, there you are. Hey, let me help you. Let me be a blessing to you. That's the other kind of people. And in order to follow Jesus, you can't be a, hey, look at me, here I am, kind of person. See, the servant's not above his master. We have to humble ourselves and be a willing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? You ain't going to lose your reward. You're not going to lose it. Not going to lose it. God wants to bless us, but he wants us to be obedient to him. God's not going to pour out his blessing on us if we just thumb our noses at him and do whatever we want to do with our life. God's not going to pour his favor out on a rebellious child. God wants us to humble ourselves before him. And I'm going to tell you right now, he intends to use you. He intends to use me. He doesn't ever save somebody that he doesn't want to use for his glory. Every child of God has an opportunity to be a blessing. Every child of God has an opportunity to make an impact. Every child of God has the opportunity to make a difference and to do something for the glory of God. Because every single one of us is just a vessel. I was talking to Jackson on the way to town. I don't know, everybody's got different tastes, but whatever your favorite food in the world is, whatever your favorite food in the world is, you know what it is. And I want you to picture that favorite food in your mind right now, whatever it is. Now, I could bring it to you in a crystal bowl or a golden dish and some beautiful, elaborate, ornate dish and lay it in front of you, and you'd say, ooh, look at that. That looks incredible. But you know what? It might come to you in an old bucket. It might come to you in a wooden platter. It might come to you on a paper towel. Is it any less appetizing? Does it change the food? What kind of vessel it's in? You say, I ain't nothing. I ain't nobody. I don't know why God would want to do anything with me. Well, I'm just an old bucket. Well, God puts his blessing and his awesomeness in the bucket. God takes his love and he puts it in the old wooden vessels. Listen, by the way, he says in his word, Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are we made out of? Clay. He made Adam out of the dust of the ground. We're dirt and moisture. Your body's biggest part in moisture, but it's dirt too. Hey, that's why when you go back to the ground, you turn into the ground. We are not anything special, but with him we are. And with him we can do great things, but we have to submit to him. And I pray to God that we realize that. And we each one of us go to God in our own time and say, Lord, I don't want my life to be wasted. Please do something with me while I've still got it. And I pray, my heart's desire is that we humble ourselves before God, that we look at Jesus and see who he is and think of all that he's done for us and think of all the ways that he loves us and realize, like I said, he knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows everything about us. There's nothing we can hide from him. Let's quit trying to hide. Let's just humbly admit, listen, Lord, I need you. And if we'll admit that, and if we'll put ourselves on his mercy and say, Lord, you got to fix this. You got to fix me. You got to make me into what I ought to be. Then God will do that. If we'll come to him humble and say, Lord, take this whole lump of clay and shape me. Get all the sticks and the rocks and the pieces of straw out of me. Pick all this junk out of me. Listen, there's that verse where it talks about he separated me from the mire. He lifted me out of the miry clay. Listen, hey, just like the potter in the potter's house saw where the potter took the lump of clay and set it on the wheel and he pumped the treadle with his foot and the wheel began to spin and he dipped his hand in the water and he made a vessel. And the Bible says in the vessel that he made was marred in the hand of the potter. The potter was putting pressure on that vessel, shaping it. And something in that clay resisted and it got off center and began to get oblong instead of round and then it folded over in on itself. But the Bible said and it seemed good to the potter to make it again. But I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee the potter took whatever it was in there out so the next time it wouldn't resist. And you and I have got things in us that when we're here we are in God's hands and the circumstances of life have us spinning round and round this world and he keeps putting that steady pressure on us to mold us and shape us into a vessel for his honor. And many times we resist and we just fold, life just folds us over in on itself. God's not done. Say, Lord, please. Everything's gone into a mess. Lord, please take me and do something with me again. And God will take you and he'll remove. But you got to confess, Lord, it's me. It's my fault. I tried to do it my way. Lord, please forgive me. And God will take that thing away and he'll shape us back up again. Thank God that he doesn't give up on us. Thank God that he wants to use us and make us an earthen vessel that he can pour his love into and pour out to somebody else. Thank God for Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the message today. Lord God, I ask you please to not let it be just something we heard and forgot. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take this message and take this truth. And Lord, may we think on it. May it work on us. May we analyze ourselves in light of your word. Not turn around and look at each other and pick out each other's faults, but Lord, look at the man in the mirror. Look at the woman in the mirror. And examine ourselves. And Lord, ask you to make changes in us so that we are, Lord, going to be fashioned into something that can be of use to you. Father, please forgive us for how we've resisted you. Lord God, I pray and I plead with you. Lord, in these last days of this old world, as we know it, Lord, please, in this age of apostasy, Lord, please help us to shine as bright lights for you. And Lord, not to be ever embarrassed of you, not to ever deny you before men, but to proclaim you. No matter what anybody thinks, give us the power and the grace and the mercy to pour out your love, your salvation to someone else in need of you. Please bless us. Please forgive us. Please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.